This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
On today's program, we're going to talk about the plight of wild horses. We've had a conversation on this topic a few times before with Scott Beckstead. He is the Director of Campaigns for Animal Wellness Action and the Center for Humane Economy. Lives here in Douglas County. Thanks for coming in.
Always happy to be here, Kyle.
So, America's Wild Horses. Now, you were just showing me before we went on, as you were down in Hollywood last week, and I guess the fact that you've gone from Hollywood to our studio, I'm not sure if that what that says.
But, well, it's a step up from from Hollywood to Kyle Bailey's radio show. I mean, that you know, that's just, I feel like I've achieved the pinnacle
that's
of my career.
Nice sounding answer to me, but I suspect most people are rather skeptical on that one. But a new documentary out about America's wild horses. And I guess, what are your thoughts? What are kind of the main issues in this wild horse situation?
Right now, America's wild horses and burros are facing unprecedented animal abuse, and it is a government program that is corrupt, there is a massive disinformation campaign by the federal government to justify these massive roundups of wild horses from our public lands.
And what is the government's reasoning? What are they saying it's being done for?
So this is the Bureau of Land Management, which operates and manages public lands across the western United States. And they have launched a campaign to depopulate our rangelands of wild horses and burros, which are federally protected under the Wild Free Roaming Horses and Burros Act of 1971. And even more disturbing than the roundups themselves is this massive disinformation campaign that the BLM is waging to justify these roundups. They're calling it a crisis of overpopulation and that too many horses are damaging the range and are at risk of starvation. But what it really is a campaign to get rid of wild horses, to open up more forage and more lands to commercial livestock grazing.
So are other agencies or levels of governments or interest groups involved in all this?
Well, the U.S. Forest Service also has some wild horses, but by far the vast majority of wild horses are being managed by the Bureau of Land Management.
And what groups are kind of sharing the viewpoint that you're sharing?
Well, anyone who cares about public lands, the environment, and animal welfare are solidly on the side of the wild horses. Three very respected environmental groups, the Sierra Club, Western Watersheds Project, and Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility, have all called on the BLM to stop gaslighting the American public, stop blaming wild horses for overgrazing that's actually caused by millions of cattle and sheep, and start being honest and transparent with the American taxpayers.
Now, for a lot of people living here in the Umpqua Valley, this issue probably rarely is something that comes up. I'm curious how and when you got interested in it.
Well, I've been a lifelong horseman. I've studied wild horses my entire life, and I've studied wild horse policy, of course. And so I've been involved literally all my life. But in terms of, you know, professionally fighting for these animals, I've been doing it, you know, for most of my professional career in one capacity or another.
Now, does the debate on this issue, I mean, does this cross some of the traditional ideological parameters?
Yes, absolutely. This is a bipartisan issue, and there are a lot of reasons why Democrats and Republicans alike should be calling for reform of the BLM's wild horse and burro policy. It is fundamentally inhumane. It is grossly dishonest to the American taxpayers, and it's not about an overpopulation of wild horses. It's not about rangelands being harmed by too many horses. It is all about about the money to be made, the tens of millions that are paid to these helicopter contractors to chase down and trap our wild horses, the millions, tens of millions of dollars that we are paying to feed these horses once they are permanently incarcerated. So if we leave the horses out on the range, they're going to do just fine. If we manage their designated habitats for them and native wildlife rather than cattle and sheep, you know, it's going to be just fine. But right now, we have a government agency that is only listening to industry.
Now, you mentioned the protected status. Is this sort of akin to a spotted owl type situation?
Well, it's, you know, they're not protected under the Endangered Species Act, but they are federally protected. And what is so ironic about the situation we're in is that the federal law was passed in 1971, signed into law by President Richard Nixon. And the movie Wild Beauty really goes into Richard Nixon's role in getting this bill passed. But the Congress and the president were responding to this horrible situation where animals were being chased by aircraft and then exploited for slaughter. And so this law was passed, and Congress gave the BLM the authority to start managing these animals humanely. Instead, we are seeing that federal agency is engaging in the very same forms of abuse and exploitation that prompted the passing of the law in the first place.
Now, I kind of remember Black Beauty. That was quite a ways back, right?
Black Beauty was written during the Industrial Revolution by Anna Sewell. It was, you know, it was written as an animal welfare plea to raise awareness about the plight of horses that were being overworked and abused in the streets, you know, during the Industrial Revolution. And Ashley Avis, the director of Wild Beauty, directed a reimagining of that story that centers around a wild horse that is removed from its rangeland home.
And so a lot of attention going to this new documentary. We'll talk more about that in a minute. You mentioned burros and wild horses. Are they found in some of the same places?
For the most part, the wild burros inhabit the drier, more arid desert environs. They're very hardy animals. They're actually ecosystem engineers. Scientists have found that burros actually dig holes that provide water to a lot of other wildlife species, so they're very important to the ecosystems there. And then the wild horses, you know, inhabit other areas, but generally the two species don't overlap.
And do we have any of either in Oregon?
We have a lot of wild horses out in eastern Oregon, some wild burros. Yes, we have one of the most beautiful and colorful wild herds in the Steens Mountain area. We also have a herd known as the Kigers, which genetically are more similar to the primitive wild horses that evolved here on the North American continent millions of years ago. And those horses are absolutely stunningly beautiful animals. And yeah, so we're very proud that we have some of the most beautiful and beloved herds here in our state.
And so other than hunters and recreationists, hikers, et cetera, not a lot of people get up into the Steens very far. I mean, you really have to make an effort to even drive to be nearby them.
Yes, but what we're seeing, and this is happening throughout the West, is an explosion of tourism and photography. People are waking up to the beauty of these wild herds. There are businesses, photo safari businesses, like what you see in Africa with African wildlife, but businesses that take tourists out to the range to photograph these incredible animals. So it has important economic benefits for, especially for rural areas.
Well, and even that particular corner of Northeast Oregon, I think sometimes on our Northwest Outdoor Radio show on Sunday mornings, listening to that, and I lived in Baker City as a kid, but we didn't get out much outside of Baker City. And some of those areas up by Joseph and all of that, people are coming in from all over the place, even though it takes forever to get there.
That's right. And most of the wild horses are actually down in the southeastern corner of the state. But yeah, we're seeing more and more people take an interest, and they are making the trip out to these remote areas to get a glimpse of these wild horses.
We'll talk more about the topic and this new documentary that is out when we come back. The interview podcast after 1 at 541. Radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show at 4. On tomorrow's program, we'll talk about Mercy Hospice. Stan Welch is the outreach liaison to that, and he'll bring one of the other folks in as well for that program. Scott Beckstead is with us from Animal Wellness Action and Center for Humane Economy, talking about the Wild Beauty Mustang Spirit of the West documentary. You were down in Hollywood last week. That's very different than Sutherland and Oakland. Talk about going to one of those events.
Oh, it was amazing. I actually have attended several film festivals and premieres and screenings of this film around the country. But obviously, Hollywood was the crown jewel because there were celebrities there. There was a red carpet. And it was amazing because it was an opportunity to wake up a lot of people in the art community, the arts community, actors and filmmakers and others about the plight of the wild horses. And the response to this film was absolutely overwhelming. In fact, every single audience that I've ever seen watch this movie comes away feeling both inspired as well as outraged and motivated to take action to help our wild horses.
How many of these premiere type events do you think you've been at?
I've probably been to seven or eight.
Wow. But
it was released on various streaming platforms, including Amazon Prime, last Friday. So you can find it. I think it's $4.99 to rent it. So it's now available for public consumption. And the responses that we're getting from the critics and audiences alike are just really positive. And people are, like I said, feeling very motivated.
And I saw that even required you to wear a suit and tie.
You know, it's been known to happen, Kyle. Every now and then I have to get cleaned up.
Wow. Just to be clear, because sometimes people that aren't around these topics very much, wild horse, does that look any different than a horse that you find on a farm in Melrose?
No, I mean, it's interesting because the different herds in different areas of the country definitely tend to have a different look. For example, there's a herd in Wyoming that are comprised of mostly draft crosses. So they're very massive, big, muscular horses, and they have densely curly coats. And you don't see that in any other herd. But yes, these animals are for the most part descended from the animals that crossed the plains with the pioneers, that carried first peoples, on their hunts and their battles. And so, when you look at them, they look like just incredibly beautiful horses that are living wild and free out on the range.
What do you hear about this topic from rural ranchers and farmers?
You know, it varies. Most of the opposition to wild horses comes from the people that are enriching themselves by grazing their livestock on designated wild horse habitat. Up to 80% of the grass that grows on federally designated wild horse habitat is allocated to cattle and sheep. That's what we need to get turned around. And that is what generates the opposition from the livestock companies and the multinational corporations that are really profiting from this, from the wild horse and burro programs. You know, getting rid of all of these horses so that there can be more livestock.
So does this tend to be the bigger companies, not the mom and pop farmers?
In fact, many of the livestock grazing permittees are on Forbes 500 list. We're talking very, very wealthy, very powerful people. Look, they produce less than 2% of the U.S. beef supply on public lands, and yet they are getting this killer deal by only paying $1.35 per month to graze a single cow-calf pair, whereas beef producers in other parts of the country are having to pay $20 to $25 because they're on private property. So it's an anti-competitive policy. It gives a complete competitive disadvantage to livestock producers in other parts of the country.
And we hear about, you know, big ag and other aspects of agriculture versus the family farmers. It's kind of one of those similar divides.
Well, it's definitely a misnomer to say that, you know, these are all, you know, mom and pop ranches that are benefiting from this. It's more accurate to say these are very powerful corporations, and they are represented by very powerful institutions like the National Cattlemen's Beef Association that lobbies on Capitol Hill for the end of wild horses.
So where do you see this topic going?
Well, we need Congress to act because Congress is really the only body that has the authority to put the brake on the BLM's campaign to get rid of our wild horses. And so what we need is we need every concerned taxpayer who cares about animal welfare, public lands, and taxpayer accountability and good government to call and write their members of Congress, tell them you support wild horses and burros on public lands, tell them that you oppose inhumane helicopter roundups, and remove livestock, not wild horses, from designated wild horse habitat.
You mentioned once the wild horses are captured, they're simply kept somewhere, right?
Well, they're put up for adoption, but you know, the demand for wild horses is greatly outpaced by the number of horses. I mean, the BLM is removing tens of thousands of animals. So there's an adoption program. Unfortunately, that is exploited by some to send horses to slaughter.
Well, and I would imagine as well, again, with a very almost no knowledge of exactly how horses work in terms of different types and everything, is that, you know, if you wanted a horse that had been wild for years, that probably isn't always the type of horse you want on with your other horses.
You know, it depends, because horses are like people. They all have their own unique personalities. I've seen some Mustangs that are just, you know, complete puppy dogs that will do anything for you. But yes, I would say overall, especially if you're getting an older animal who has known nothing but freedom, you know, you need to be someone who understands good horse training techniques and, you know, you have the patience and the ability to stay with it. But these are amazing animals, and you know, they're wonderful mountain horses, trail horses. They're very hardy and resilient.
Now, the film, do you remember how long it is?
Well, it's a little over an hour and a half. It's incredible cinematography, beautiful images of wild horses that I know people are just going to love. That's really the artistic vision of the director, Ashley Avis. But she also goes into the policy and what's happening. And that's where I come in as an expert to speak on the topic of BLM's policies and what's happening at the federal level.
So you're actually seen on the film then?
That's right, yes.
And how long is your segment?
I've never actually timed it, but it's several minutes long, and I talk about, you know, the fact that you know, it's not about overpopulation, it's about the money to be made, and that there's a disinformation campaign by the federal government to justify this. So I made a lot of the really critical points that sort of propelled the policy part of the discussion in the movie.
In your current roles with Animal Wellness Action and Center for Humane Economy, do you find yourself back in Washington, D.C. as much as you did in the past?
I hadn't gone to D.C. very much during COVID, but I've been several times since. I was the keynote speaker at the Save Our Wild Horses Conference in Washington, D.C. 3 weeks ago. I'm going back for the Washington, D.C. premiere of this documentary. We're hoping that lots of members of Congress will show up and see the movie. That's really who needs to see the movie, is Congress, more than anyone. I am spending more time in Capitol Hill. I enjoy spending time in the Capitol building, meeting with members of Congress. It's very exciting, and it feels like I'm having an impact.
And it's interesting as well to kind of cross those two worlds from dealing with the topic of wild horses on vast rangelands versus being in the Beltway.
And you would be surprised how many members of Congress don't even know we have wild horses. When you mention wild horses, they think about the wild horses of Chincoteague or Assateague that live off the East Coast. And then when they find out, you know, the corruption and the cruelty and the disinformation by the federal government that administers our public lands in the American West, they are outraged. And, you know, Republicans and Democrats alike, they see this as wasteful, as dishonest, and as arrogant, because this agency does not respond to the, you know, the millions of taxpayers that have contacted them asking them to stop these inhumane roundups.
And again, the name of the documentary?
Wild Beauty, Mustang Spirit of the West, a film by Ashley Avis.
And where can people access that?
You can find it on Amazon Prime as well as several other platforms. Just Google the name of the movie. You can also go to the YouTube do a search for Wild Beauty, and it'll come up and you can watch the trailer.
All right, Scott Beckstead, Director of Campaigns for Animal Wellness Action and Center for a Humane Economy. Thanks for coming in.
It's always a pleasure, Kyle. Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.